If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. And welcome again. Back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. You want the newsletter tonight. You want it. The president right now, first off, he's talking about, I want to get into the red flag law because I have the data on it. Let's start there, shall we? And then we're going to get into the ATF and everything else. First and foremost, what he just called for was a national suspension of due process. When you talk about red flag laws, that's exactly what red flag laws are. Not only have I written 2 books that have discussed this, but I've also written more articles than I can count on my hands, your hands, and everybody's hands. I have been warning people about red flag laws for a number of years now because it is a complete and total suspension of due process. And imagine the firearm is just the variable. Right? Imagine the firearm is just the variable. So as it relates to red flag laws, he said within 60 days, he's going to publish model red flag legislation for the state. So this is a nationalization of the removal of due process. And that's exactly what it is, because a penalty is put into effect before any kind of judgment can be ascertained, before you even have your day in court, before you even do anything. This is bad. This is what I think one of the most dangerous proposals that he has. So he wants an appropriate national red flag law, legislation incentivizing states to pass red flag laws of their own. So he knows that he can't force states to implement red flag laws. So he's going to try to use our taxpayer dollars to incentivize it. And that's important. This is what I have written about this before. What do red flag orders offer that our current legal options do not? And I'm talking about civil commitments. I know there's some issues there, TROs, etc. Why is that? Why aren't any of those implemented? I've also asked, who in the world is going to be able to petition for red flags? Because it varies state by state. What are the protections for abuse? There has not been a single protection. And I have read, I want to reiterate to you, I have read every single proposal that's out there because I'm a dork. And like Tyrion Lannister, who drinks and know things, what I do is I crochet and know things. That's what I do. Also listen to Dark Wave. So I do 3 things, 1 more than Tyrion Lannister. So I've read every single one of them. There's not a single protection against abuse in any single red flag law that has been proposed by a Republican or Democrat, I might add. And furthermore, it takes months, perhaps even years, to clear one's name if you're falsely accused. There's no protections against that. If the penalty of confiscation is given before any evaluation or court date, which is absolutely 100% typical with these proposals, doesn't this seem like a complete and total inversion of innocent until proven guilty to you? Does that concern you? I mean, there are many people who are concerned, and rightly so, about corruption in law enforcement and failures within the justice system. So how does it help to remove a barrier of protection against that abuse? And since a red flag order is served on someone who is presumably mentally unwell to the point of being a danger to themselves or others, how does removing singularly the weapon solve the issue? There are 0 mental health provisions. And if you have to obtain a warrant in order to serve a red flag order, what are the concerns for Fourth Amendment protections? And this, as I have stated before, removing rights from citizens to stop criminals is ludicrous. Colorado, for instance, they have red flag laws. It did nothing to stop the recent Boulder shooting. And by the way, robbing innocent citizens of their due process rights of red with hasn't shown to be at all effective. Here's the New York Times. This is August 6, 2019. Quote, the evidence for whether extreme risk protection orders can work to prevent gun violence is inconclusive. Also a study by the Rand Corporation on the effectiveness of gun safety measures. I will look at this for you. Let me pull this up. We have a lot of notes today. So one of the things that they did is they studied strength of relationship between gun policies and outcomes. And one of the things that they discussed is that there's nothing to show at all whatsoever that red flag laws actually work. And this is from the Rand Corporation, which isn't exactly a conservative organization. That it doesn't actually have any effectiveness on gun safety measures. This is a similar result, according to the Washington Post, from other states. It doesn't matter what variable you put in. States have had mixed results, and by mixed results, some have shown that there has been a modest effect, but most have been inconclusive. I think you could say Colorado is an example of that, an absolute example of that. This is something that hasn't shown to be effective. And when you're talking about, he mentioned too, the boyfriend loophole. This is the Lautenberg Amendment. This is 18 USC 922G. And let me, I actually have this, you're going to get this all in a post. I have so much information right now for you. It's like, I'm just shooting it out of a fire hose at this point. 18 USC 922-9. There is no such thing as a boyfriend loophole. And this is something that he is mentioning. I need you to understand that this is a gun control advocate's attempt to exploit, domestic abuse survivors as a way to implement further restrictions on firearms. 18 USC 922-9, aka the Lautenberg Amendment, and I will read this to you, quote, subsection 8 is subject to a court order that restrains such person from harassing, stalking, threatening an intimate partner, etc., even the intimate partner's kid, etc. And it also says, going down here to subsection 9, anyone who's been convicted in any court of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. Now, if the argument from gun control activists is that the cohabitation should be an issue, and that and substantiate that charge, the discussion they should be having on this issue of boyfriend loophole should focus on raising a charge of domestic violence in this particular manner from a misdemeanor to a felony with due process, not gun control. If this is a claim, if this offense is serious enough to strip away your rights, but not to increase the penalty to a year in prison, then you're not talking about, you don't actually care about preventing domestic abuse. You just want control. So we're going to break all of this down. You're going to want to sign up for the newsletter because this is something that you are going to want to save in perpetuity. We have a lot to get into. In addition, not just to this, we're also going to talk about infrastructure, because bridges and roads are racist. That is according to the Secretary of Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. And again, I'm going with the Larry O'Donnell of MSNBC's pronunciation. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kane. Mr. Radio Kane. Thank you. Pete Buttigieg. We are going to talk about how bridges are racist. I, too, also think that items that allow cars to get over bodies of water you to get over a body of water in something that is not a car is also racist. And so clearly, if infrastructure is racist, the solution to that is more infrastructure. So we're going to talk about all of this and more here coming up. So it's a packed show, an absolutely packed show today. And so you don't want to miss a single bit of it. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grape seed extract. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
A 10-year-old boy took a minivan and led police on a chase. He said he just wanted to buy Cheerios. I think he needs his ass beat. This is coming out of Minnesota, 10 years old. Stillwater led a police on a chase in his parents' minivan. He was going to the store to buy some Cheerios. This was on Tuesday. He was spotted driving it. I really don't honestly even care about this stupid ass story when everything's happening in D.C. right now. Can I just be honest? I don't even care. A 10-year-old kid who needs to be whipped took his parents' car. Whoop-de-doo. Next. Moving on. I'm in that kind of mood. I don't even care that Penn signed a seven-figure book deal. Whoopity-doo. Also, let's see here. What else? Here's a study. It's literally from Study Finds. People look up symptoms. Sometimes that can lead to accurate diagnoses. No, what? Wow. By the way, they also did a test. Water is wet. Hey, guess what? Fire is hot. Also, study says if you cross the street, you may get hit by a car. The big racist street, according to Pete Buttigieg. That's, are you laughing? But it's a true thing. I mean, just saying, it's a true thing. Let's see here. Also, this is a crazy, crazy, crazy story because we got this coming up with immigration later on. There's photos along with this. Apparently, the Customs and Border Patrol published March numbers showing 172,331 were taken into custody. It's the most in two decades. Insane. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Why do the Democrats want open borders even though it damages national security and the people who are crossing the southern border are brutalized by the drug cartels? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, we discuss this and how Dr. Fauci continues to move the COVID goalposts with North Carolina Congressman and Dr. Greg Murphy. We'll also highlight the huge threat to your personal liberty through vaccine passports and how our children are now in the COVID police crosshairs. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Much more need be done, but the first, want to rein in the proliferation of so-called ghost guns. These are guns that are homemade, built from a kit, and include directions on how to finish the firearm. You can go buy the kit. They have no serial numbers. So when they show up at a crime scene, they can't be traced. And the buyers aren't required to pass a background check to buy the kit, to make the gun. Consequently, anyone from a criminal to a terrorist can buy this kit in as little as 30 minutes put together a weapon.
Oh my gosh. That's not even accurate. That is so not accurate. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Again, hearing Joe Biden talk about this stuff is like me talking about football.
Or whack back.
Is there a dime back?
Yes, there is a dime back.
Is there really? Mm-hmm. Rachel's dying. I'm just curious. Okay, I was asking. Is it the football made from leather?
Yeah, pig skin originally, but I think
it's not leather.
It's leather now.
Oh, yeah, it needs to be leather.
Maybe a composite of something.
Like, is it like a caviar leather, or is it like a soft calf skin?
Don't even care.
Okay, honestly. Just curious. Calf skin would scratch, but that's why I would think it would be a nice pebbled leather. Caviar leather might be better.
Pretty
I don't even know how I know all this. All right, so what Joe Biden just said there is so completely, absolutely wrong. Can we just be real? How many gangbangers and drug dealers do y'all know that have like super expensive drill presses just in their houses and all the other like devices needed to drill out these aluminum blocks? Does he even know how guns are made? I'm curious because I'm pretty sure, and yes, I do have data, but let me make fun of this for a moment. Because I'm pretty sure that your average everyday drug dealer or your average everyday gangbanger, you know, the people who are driving the crime, and don't take my word for it. You could just believe the FBI and Department of Justice, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the FBI Uniform Crime Reports. They publish these facts on the Webernets, and it's totally, you can access it. It's crazy. But those are the people who drive the crime, and those are the people who are not doing they're not getting, that's what a ghost gun is. Do I need to explain this for people? This is what a ghost gun is. Nothing. It's a made up term. It's stupid. It's pretty much like an assault weapon. Ghost gun is a term that people who don't know anything about how guns are made use. And they think that hobbyists who make firearms for their own personal use at home, which there aren't a lot of them, honestly, not as many as they're trying to inflate. They make them at home, and then they usually don't sell them. If you sell anything, it has to be serialized. Otherwise, the full weight of the law is going to come down on you, and it's not going to be fun. You're going to have a bad time. Totally a felony. So you got to be careful with that stuff. But it's already federally regulated. I mean, it was first federally regulated under the National Firearms Act. It's 27 CRF 478. CFR 27 CFR 478, I think 22, and then it also discusses it in 18 USC. I think it gets into 922, 923. It's heavily federally regulated already. So to say that this is not codified is a lie. But ghost guns, what they're saying is that they call them ghosts because they say you can't track them. So what happens is people get like a block of aluminum, and they take it, and you can't do anything with it. It's just like, it's basically like having a tumbler, like my Kel-Tec tumbler. It's just like, you know, and I would have to drill it out and make, I'm just using this as an example. It's just like literally a piece of metal, and you gotta situate stuff in it, and you have to use machinery, and it doesn't take 30 minutes. And I know people who are hobbyists that make guns for themselves, and they don't sell them, and they're not criminals, and they just do it because they like it. It's like their version of Legos, and it does not take them 30 minutes. And one of my friends, who is very well known, by the way, very well known individual, a household name, is really good at machinery, real good, and has got all the tools of the trade. Does not take them 30 minutes. I'm just going to say, you don't know what the ever-loving hell you're talking about. Or you're a wizard. I mean, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't have nothing against wizards or anything. Is that, wait, sidebar. Because trees are bad now. Hang on, let me confer with Kane for a moment, everyone. All right. So, can we say wizards on air, or is that like bad?
I think you say wizards.
Can you say wizard?
Yeah.
Is it like gendered? Are the woke scolds going to come at us?
That's a tough one.
Is it racist?
Because wizards. Pretty much anything's vulnerable these days. But
wasn't Joe Biden's friend a wizard?
I think so. He was. The one he eulogized.
Was he a magical kind?
The one he eulogized?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
No. He just was the racisms. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So we can talk about it. We're not like, not a wizard like Joe Biden's friend. The guy who wore the Casper sheets. Casper the Ghost sheets. Yeah. Was that? I don't even know if that's what they're called.
The Grand Wizard? I don't know. I'm guessing.
Can you imagine just like having an organization where you make up positions? I'm going to be the Grand Seraphim.
It almost sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons character.
Yeah, but like woker. Right? Okay, back to the thing. So that's not how that works. The ghost gun situation, if you sell it, you have to serialize it. The end. If you sell it, you got to serialize it. And by serialize it, I mean you have to put some numbers on it. You have to. That's how it goes. Also, if you're doing like 3D printers, 3D printed guns, you can't just use any hunk of plastic. You have to use a good grade plastic, and you got to have a decent 3D printer. I have friends who do this too. Those things, there is no way in ever-loving hell that I would ever carry a plastic gun as like my everyday carry. Have you ever fired them? Because usually more than once or twice is all you get. Because it melts. Don't know if you guys know this or not. Because it's plastic. It's just saying. Oh my gosh. I one time left my straight iron by a thing of plastic. And apparently it was like, one of my friends was saying it was like similar to the grade that they actually use for the, and it totally like melted that. Totally did. It melted an indention. It was really nice. Thankfully it didn't hurt my flat iron. All the women are going, but what about the flat iron? It was okay. It's all right. It was a nice one. It's a really nice one. All right. So what he's saying here is false. It's just, I mean, it's just grandpa up there telling stories about how he caught a fish this so big and he had to walk uphill both ways. That's what this is. Secondly, can you give me the background check thingamajig, that audio? I threw it in Slack because I need that in my life because that's so wrong. His thing where he's talking about background checks are incorrect. It's incorrecto. Listen.
Most people don't know it. You walk into a store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want and no background check.
No. What in the world? This is like not even in any way correct. For the love, can we just not, for 5 seconds, can we just be straight? I would love to see where in any kind of law there is an exception whatsoever for gun shows from background checks. Basically, what this comes down to is whether or not, number one, it was in an auction. Comes down to whether or not you're purchasing from an FFL, meaning a federal firearms licensee. Sidebar, I didn't mean for this to be the gun show today. I am wearing short sleeves, but I did not mean for it to be the gun show today. But that's Joe Biden did, so blame him. I know. That's your mom joke for the day. Back to the main point. This, there's no exception in law for gun shows. All this applies except for a gun show. What this comes down to, and a lot of what he said in here is just absolutely false. What it comes down to is whether or not you're going to be buying from an FFL. And private sales are only, private sales, it doesn't matter if you go to another state, they always have to go through an FFL. I bought a weird caliber, but I bought a little, the Texas Rangers would carry it in their boots. It's a really cool little double-barreled, it sounds like it's huge. It's a little bitty, tiny double-barreled little pistol. And I got it at an auction because it was cool. And it was gold-plated. And I was like, that is a goth gun, if ever I saw one. So I had to have it because it was goth. And bought it out of state. And I bought it there. Didn't go through the background check there. It had to go be sent to my FFL here in Dallas, and when I went to pick it up, that's when you go through your background check. And if you're at a gun show, the only time that you could ever purchase something at a gun show where you don't have a background check, like antiquities, or if it's, because most people there are storefronts, and they're super strict about this, particularly if you are a storefront. If it's like a antiquity, if you're selling a firearm, it cannot account for even like, I don't even think a third of your income. This also, by the way, is federally regulated down to like the number. So you can only sell privately without it contributing as a form of livable income, your private property firearms. And it can only be to someone who is, that is their state of residence also. It has to be your state of residence, their state of residence. They got to be legal. If not, it's a felony. You're in trouble. They're in trouble. It's all federally regulated. Furthermore, I have some studies for you. And you're going to get all this in the newsletter. There is nothing at all whatsoever that shows that gun shows or any kind of loophole or any kind of kit or any kind of ghost gun or anything like that is what contributes to the homicide rate with illegally used firearms. Just bottom line. It is not. Criminals are not obtaining their illegally possessed firearms from, they're not making them at home with their drill presses. They're not going into a retail store and filling out a 4473. Criminals are getting them from illegal or straw purchases. Here are your studies. First off, the Department of Justice did a study in 2019. They did a study in 2019. And what they determined is that the vast majority who they obtain their firearms through straw purchase and theft. BJS.gov. It was originally published in 2016. It was updated in January of 2019. And it shows, by and large, based on a survey of prison inmates, when they said one out of five of them had reported that they had possessed or carried a firearm in the commission of a felony for which they were serving time in prison. They said they get down to like more than 13% of the prisoners used a firearm by showing, pointing, or discharging it. But they said 56% had either stolen it, 6% found it at the scene of the crime, 7% obtained it off the street, or from the underground market, or sorry, 43% obtained it off the street or from the underground market. 7% found it at the scene of the crime. 6% had it stolen. But the remainder, 25%, you're looking at straw purchases. You're looking at a family member would give it to them. And this is according to the Department of Justice. So it comes by they steal the firearm, which is 56%, 25%. And that's most of the remainder had obtained it from family member, a friend, straw purchase. I mean, it gets, and they looked at, they let you know all the prisoners that they spoke with, and the majority, this is where they're getting it. They're not making their own. And they're not engaging in legal private sales. And by the way, it was handguns more than it was the rifles that they want to go after. Which brings me to my next point. We're going to have to talk about the AR platform type pistols. Because this is Joe Biden's move to classify pistols as NFA items. Like he's moving to bring pistols to close the gap that gun advocates, they switched focusing from handguns to rifles in the 90s, and he wants to close that gap and bring handguns under this as well. So we're going to talk about this. We got a lot, and I need to get into the transportation and the immigration stuff, and we have people to make fun of. Like, come on.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to that newsletter, chapter and verse. I was looking, the one thing that I could say about this, when I'm looking at the White House's executive actions, and I got a big piece coming out about this, is there's one part where they say that they're looking at investing in evidence-based community violence interventions and how to reduce community violence, etc. You know, I think a great community violence prevention program would be not to issue wrist slaps for people who kill Uber drivers. I think a great community violence program would be to not refuse to prosecute violent rioters, like in the case of Kim Gardner when she released all of these individuals. I mean, I would like to know more specifics about precisely what they intend to do with these programs. They also say that the Justice Department is going to issue an annual report on firearms trafficking. Now, you'll have to forgive me for being a little bit suspicious of any government agency that has previously used gun trafficking programs to make the case for gun control here in the United States. I'll take you back to December 7th, 2011. CBS, ATF used Fast and Furious to make the case for gun regulations. Documents obtained by CBS News show that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives discussed using their covert operation Fast and Furious to argue for controversial new rules about gun sales. So you're going to have to forgive me about this. Now, coming up, I'm going to introduce you to the new ATF director. He had roles in Ruby Ridge and Waco. He also wanted all gun stores to be closed as non-essential businesses during the lockdown. He falsely claimed on his social media accounts that cult members shot down two helicopters during the Waco siege, which actually wasn't true at all. And he spent over 10 years working for Bloomberg Gun Control Groups. It's your new ATF director, David Chipman. We're going to talk all about him coming up, so you don't want to miss that. Also, Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Department of Transportation, says that we've got to stop the systemic racism in roads and bridges. And we're going to stop all the racism in infrastructure by having more infrastructure. Stay with us. We got a lot.
We should also ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country. For that 10 years we had it done, the number of mass shootings actually went down. Even law enforcement officials have told me and told other champions of this legislation, they sometimes feel outgunned by assault weapons with large capacity magazines. There's no reason someone needs a weapon of war with 100 rounds, 100 bullets that can be fired from that weapon. Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. We got that done when I was a United States Senator. It wasn't easy going up against the gun lobby, but it saved lives. And we should also eliminate gun manufacturers from the immunity they receive from the Congress.
Manufacturers, where to start with this? So welcome back to the show, everybody. Second hour of the program. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter because you're going to want it. I have, to give all my subscribers a heads up, I'm going to dive into this. We got a bunch of other things to get into. I didn't mean for it to be gun radio today, but it's the big news story today. And Joe Biden announced a lot of other stuff. And there's stuff that's going to affect you that goes beyond firearms that you really need to know about. But a quick note for our subscribers, you're probably going to get anywhere from 2 to 3 emails tonight from me because I'm literally at my limit in the first one. It's telling me, I mean, you can come and look, Kane. It says you're near the email length. Here, I'm going to take a screenshot.
I saw the smoke coming from your knuckles when you were typing on that last commercial break.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm adding some of the video stuff in here because I multitask because I don't know why I'm insane. But it literally is telling me, and I just put it in Slack so you can, it's telling me you're near your length. I didn't know that could, I don't know why Substack does that to me, but I'm like, stop it. So, yeah, we're near the link. Basically, what I'm telling you is there's going to be a subsequent piece specifically on the manufacturing aspect. It's not literally, I'm not going to be able to fit it in this piece. The big email that you're going to get first is going to deal with trafficking. It's going to deal with red flag law. It's going to deal with ghost guns. It's also going to deal with boyfriend loophole. It's going to deal with the crime rate as it relates to, you know, who possesses what. And I have some audio sound bites plus background on the new ATF director. So that's what you're getting in this email. And I told you all, you guys, it's literally me. If there are typos in it, ignore them. And I will not sell your email address to anyone, not even aliens. If they offer me like to rule the world, I won't do it. I mean, maybe then, but you know, I wouldn't want to rule anything. My gosh. All right. So let's for a minute, though, talk about this where he's the manufacturers. I mean, for the love. Remember when they made fun of Bush for saying nuclear? Because in Texas, that's how everybody says nuclear. Nuclear. N-O-O-K. Nuke. U-Y-O-U. Lur. L-U-R. It's just the Texas thing. It's how they say it. They're not stupid. It's an accent. Manufacturers. Wow. What he's saying here is going to would affect more than just firearms. And let me explain. So this comes, let me take it back to like Newtown and some other previous tragedies, but particularly Newtown. There was a lawsuit that was brought against the manufacturer of the firearm that was used, I'm not going to say his name, by the murderer at Sandy Hook. And the accusation was that they were culpable somehow. And remember, this firearm was given to him by his mother, who I think was incredibly irresponsible. If she had known her son had serious issues, then she should not have allowed him to. And apparently he had a lot of issues that were very noticeable. And he was not continuing with certain medications. It can be dangerous. But by the way, negligence laws also would cover her actions in that particular situation. That's a negligence law thing. But going after the manufacturer, the argument was that the manufacturer was culpable. Now, we need to talk about this very clinically for a moment and very dispassionately just to understand the facts. The way that they were approaching the suit was to say that you have to accuse them of like breaching marketing law, for the lack of a better way to put it. I'm just trying to make this to where it doesn't get into the weeds. You remember how they went after Joe Camel and cigarettes and they said you were marketing to kids? I wrote about this in my first book, Hands Off My Gun, because I said this is going to be coming up. They are trying to say the same thing about firearms. And that's why they went after the industry and they went after manufacturers, saying that you're advertising to kids you're advertising, and you're also advertising them in certain ways that make, basically, that make murder look attractive, is what the allegation is. Now, you have to prove something like that in court. You have to prove that they're marketing to people outside of their legal demo. The first way that they tried to go about it was like a basically like a product failure way. Like if I say, and my Instapot has never done this, but say that my Instapot malfunctioned and it exploded. I used everything correctly. I did everything by the book and it exploded and there was great general injury or disaster, right? Well, if there was a malfunction on the part of the product because of a product error, then you have a legal route to sue. You have a legal, there's a legal process that covers that. And so they were trying to argue that initially with firearms and going after the industry by trying to say that there was like malfunction or something. When you're using a legally illegal to own product in a legal fashion, you don't have, there's no grounds there. And you cannot change the law by desire and just say that because a criminal can use, illegally use, or someone who is turning into a criminal illegally uses, and he stole his firearm first in Newtown, because if a criminal illegally uses a legal to own product in an illegal way, that does not constitute any sort of culpability or mean a certain malfunction on the part of the product. So they rerouted and now are going after advertising and liability. So that's what he's talking about here. Now, here's where it's going to affect a hell of a lot more than guns. Auto manufacturers. Just name a product. All the people who were eating Tide Pods. Were they actually eating Tide Pods?
It's true. They were eating them.
So you could just, so under this logic, and this is what this precedent will establish, you could just sue Tide because some moron decided to eat a Tide Pod and yeet himself into the afterlife. You know what I mean?
Do you remember what Tide did though? They like changed the lids on those things.
Yeah.
To like, I guess, idiot-proof.
Because people are that litigious.
Exactly.
So you could, people could sue Tide because people are eating Tide Pods, right? Yeah. It's, I mean, if you drank Drano, it's like suing Drano because you decided to use their product in a way that the manufacturer explicitly was like, don't do this. I mean, this is what we're coming to. So that is the door that will be opened. Know that. That's what he's talking about. And I'm going to have I'll have a separate piece about that this evening. That's going to come out for you. Whew, this has been a lot. Can we do, and I'm going to get into the, okay, let's, let me, I really want to do the pistol thing. So, yeah, will you play that real quick? And then I'm going to make fun of Poot.
Pistols modified with stabilizing braces with the seriousness they deserve. A stabilizing brace shook in a pencil essentially makes that pistol a hell of a lot more accurate than a mini rifle. As a result, it's more lethal, effectively turning it into a short-barreled rifle. That's what the alleged shooter in Boulder appears to have done. I want to be clear that these modifications to firearms that make them more lethal should be subject to the National Firearms Act.
So what he wants, so the National Firearms Act, whenever you hear me or somebody else say that's an NFA item, that means that's a firearm that falls under National Firearms Act, like short-barreled rifles, SBRs, things like that. Scopes, for some reason, are NFA items, and that's when you have to go and you get your tax stamp, etc. So I believe that this is Biden's attempt. In the 90s, the gun control crowd moved from handguns to rifles, and now they realize, I think, also how inconsistent they look by constantly only wanting to go after something that is illegally used by criminals in only a fraction of criminal activity. and they want to now, this is their first step in pushing handguns towards that as well. Make no mistake, they know they can't repeal the Second Amendment, so they're going to make all semi-automatic firearms, they're going to ban them. They're going to render them virtually illegal. They want to make all, and that's how they'll start with it, they want to make all semi-automatic firearms NFA items. So that also is going to affect manufacturing, because NFA items are, well, I mean, you have to, they're old. I mean, for, you know, if you're looking at full auto, things like that, it'll control manufacturing. It will, oh my gosh, the price is going to explode. You're going to price out poor people. You're going to price out low income areas. I mean, there's so many things. That's like a whole other segment. And I also don't think that passes constitutional muster, because one of the measures of whether or not something is constitutional, and this was actually used during when they were fighting over the magazine ban in California, is this the least restrictive way a government can go about solving a particular issue? This isn't. So, and he knows that this is all unconstitutional, which is why he's trying to bypass Congress and use executive authority. Now, with AR-style pistols, I have AR-style pistols. Here's the thing. You know what makes something accurate? Barrel length and rifling. Not a brace. I mean, also, do you know, I will, don't, and I know it's science. I thought we'd like, oh, wait, no, we don't like science, or we do? We do or don't? Selectively. We selectively like science. Oh, my gosh. So this is, I don't think that this is, I don't think that anything that he would do would pass in the Senate. But I am very, I mean, it just amazes me when it just that he went out and said some of the stuff he said that were just blatantly false. So, goodness, we got to talk about the infrastructure thing, too. Ooh, by the way, some of the spending that he's talking about for this, particularly as it relates to the trafficking study, the gun trafficking study that you're going to read about in your email subscription, he's wanting to tack funding for that onto this infrastructure bill. So this infrastructure bill is now we're seeing some of what some of that money is going towards. So we're going to talk more about that. There's a lot. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay, so I'm going to get to the United Airlines thing here coming up, but I have to touch on it now. So United Airlines, everyone, super woke. They are affirming their commitment to training pilots, not based on their ability to fly, but whether or not they have vaginas and what color they are, because that is more important than actual qualifications. This is literally a thing. They were tweeting about this. Quote, our flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes every day. That's why we plan for 50% of the 5,000 pilots we train in the next decade to be women or people of color. Learn more and apply now. I am made of remarks on this. Oh, for the love. So, just, you know. Okay. Also, oh my goodness. Let's see. I don't like that one. Let's do this one. Apparently, a medical student questioned microaggressions. And UVA branded him a threat and promptly banished him from campus because, yeah, Kiernan, and I cannot say his last name, Bhattacharya, his First Amendment lawsuit can proceed according to a court because he absolutely did take University of Virginia School of Medicine to court. He attended a panel discussion in October of 2018 on the subject of microaggressions. He was dissatisfied with the definition offered by the presenter. He raised his hand. Beverly Cowell Adams was the assistant dean, and she didn't like his question, so he was branded a threat to the university. He was banned from campus, and he's now suing, which he should because that's insane. That's absolutely crazy. But, you know, used to you be able to ask questions at college campuses. Now you can't. China decides to rattle its saber and act tough and warn Washington not to boycott Winter Olympics. China's government has warned Washington, don't you dare, after the administration said that it was talking with allies about maybe a joint approach to complaints of human rights abuses. Because, you know, China says even though we unleashed a plague upon the world that rocked your economies and ruined lives and killed people, how dare you not come here for the Olympics? I don't think anybody wants to go there for the Olympics. Come on now. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. Poot says roads are racist.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Imagine a world where you and your family can travel coast to coast without a single tank of gas or in a high-speed train close to as fast as you can go across the country in a plane.
The hell? Can I hear just that last part?
Just the last part?
Just the last part. Right. The what?
Close to as fast as you can go across the country in a plane.
Huh. Is he? What the hell is he trying to say? I don't know.
I guess he's high-speed train action. Is that what he's talking about? High-speed train? They currently do not go as fast as airplanes, but okay.
I'm confused. Well, that is the president. Welcome back to the show.
It only takes $1 trillion to get a train to go fast.
DanaLash.com. Subscribe to you. Should now you'll have the big giant. You have the piece on Biden's gun control. You subscribers, you got it already. And I made it to everybody, not just paid. But the next one, all the other stuff is going to be paid. So it's $6 a month. Sign up. This infrastructure. Can I point out this is the big topic of convo yesterday. Can I point out this tweet from Kirsten Gillibrand? She really was going to town on the whole infrastructure thing, and the memes were amazing. So she tweeted, okay, this is how it started, because the infrastructure bill from Biden. So she tweeted, paid leave is infrastructure. Child care is infrastructure. Caregiving is infrastructure. Yeah. So because everyone's like, well, if we're talking about infrastructure and like what 5% of it is of a $2 trillion bill is going to infrastructure, where are the other trillions going? And that's what she was trying to say. You can just redefine everything. My friend Ben said brunch is infrastructure. Kendall Jenner is infrastructure. The Snyder Cut is infrastructure. I had said Soylent Green is infrastructure. My dogs are infrastructure. My protein, Kane. Kane, my protein.
Look at that infrastructure. Look at that.
That infrastructure is delicious. Queso is infrastructure. See, if you call everything infrastructure, then it's all infrastructure. Oh, welcome to the Joe Biden School of Politics. So you can, if someone asks you, you know, like, well, why is it that we're spending money? Oh, because that's also infrastructure. It is. And you're racist for saying it's not. Well, apparently roads and bridges are no longer infrastructure. Everything that I want is infrastructure. Everything I don't want is Jim Eagle. Ooh, my gosh. You know, Ron Klain said in 2017 that roads and bridges and water systems, that's what people think of when they think of infrastructure. Those racist roads. Now it's time. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. And again, that's how Larry O'Donnell, whatever the MSNBC guy's name is, the guy who thinks he's Shakespeare. He thinks literally every single one of his broadcasts is like an audition for Shakespeare. He did. Secretary Poot did. And that's correct. He did an interview with the Agria. And he said that, and there's a direct quote. And I'm going to go into Mayor Poot mode. There is racism physically built into American infrastructure. Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh. He said, and I quote, well, if you're in Washington, I'm told that the history of the highway is one that was built at the expense of communities of color in the D.C. area. What? And he said, and I quote, there is racism physically built into some of our highways. And that's why the jobs plan has specifically committed to reconnect some of the communities that were divided by these dollars. So see, that's the other thing that they're gearing up. If you disagree that this is all with infrastructure, then you're a racist. Wait, I don't understand here. So he's saying that infrastructure is racist. So the best way to combat this is more infrastructure. Right? I mean, roads and bridges were literally built with racism. So we need more of them. Well, he did own 44 buses, Kane. I mean, not him, but his city, right?
That sounds like qualifications. Mm. Is he saying that the new construction is going to be not racist then? Is that what he's saying? The new infrastructure they're thinking of will be not racist, but the current infrastructure is racist? Is that what they're saying?
That's a great question.
Because it's really confusing messaging.
I mean, I also agree that rivers and lakes that we need to get over in some kind of fashion similar to a car are racist.
See, I never adhered to that philosophy for some reason.
I know I'm being reductive, but so are they. So why should I not be reductive when they are, right?
Right.
I mean, why not when you could have fun?
Pointing out the ridiculousness is fun.
He's like the guy who wears a safety helmet to play skee ball at Chuck E. Cheese. That's who Poot is, right? He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. He's not in the shed. He's just like left out in the rain. I don't know. This is all awkward. No, he's saying that apparently only black people live by roads and bridges. When our first house, I had a highway literally in my backyard in Kirkwood, Missouri. Literally in my backyard. Hi, I'm white. I don't know. This is weird. I don't know. Like, why is that a thing? Why can't just build a damn road? I don't know. So this is all a lot more than just basic infrastructure, as you're seeing. I just don't understand why I don't get it. So what is his proposal? To just take away the roads and bridges? I mean, how are you going to, if you think this stuff is racist, I don't know. Like, what is your solution for this? Golly, this is just the dumbest stuff ever. Gosh, we're just getting dumber. We're getting dumber every day. Good night. But brunch is infrastructure. There's a lot of things that I would actually make infrastructure. Not just queso, but jalapeno poppers are infrastructure. Right. I mean, margaritas, infrastructure. Telling you. St. Germain poured into some Prosecco, infrastructure. I love my presidency. Guys, this is what we're going to do. This is infrastructure, okay? Oh my gosh. This is why aliens don't want a damn thing to do with us. They don't care. They don't want nothing. All right. So a number of things. Can we talk about the United thing? Got to. I need it in my life. I had it as a headline. I told you I was going to come back to it. United tweeted, "Our flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes every day. That's why we plan for 50% of the 5,000 pilots we train in the next decade to be women or people of color." Well, they also have kids. Why not just have some of your pilots be kids? You bigots. Gosh. They issued a statement that no one asked for about votes. They're trying to get in on the Georgia stuff. "Legislation that infringes on the right to vote of fellow Americans. This is wrong." What? Do they require an ID? So, hey, you can just walk on United's planes. They don't GAF. Go ahead. And they got kids flying them. Woo! I mean, that's what I'm understanding here. I love the hiring promises. Right? "Well, we see that you are a super qualified pilot, but do you have a vagina?" Well, what does that matter to flying a plane? Everything.
We got a quota.
Oh, you're going to have a lot of runway accidents. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. Oh, my gosh. But no, I don't know why they need your plane. Just fly people. You get money. You know what? You just give us back our bailout. How about that? How much money did they take? Do we know how many millions United took? United to my money. Infrastructure. Right? No, they said that our mission is to connect people and unite the world. No, you just need to get people from one place to another and not lose our crap.
Looks like they got $5
billion. Oh, can we get some of that back?
Wow.
I'm just saying. I mean, just give us some of that money back and then you can sit here and virtue signal about voting laws you didn't read. United. But seriously, though, they have babies that fly on these planes. Just put a baby, get a baby pilot. How many of those pilots are going to be babies? For real. Do dogs count? Like the animals in cargo? I'm just curious.
It's not very inclusive.
This is just, this is like be clowning yourself for the sake of why. Just because you feel like you need to virtue signal? I love all of these people that are using this as an advertising opportunity. Right. But can I still make fun of Patagonia or did I beat that to death yesterday? Because I ask, you know that you have to show ID when you pick up your curbside order at Patagonia?
Racist.
And the county that is losing $100 million from the All-Star game, Patagonia is going to give $1 million to these voting groups, which is going to totally help that $100 million loss. Oh, make sure to show your ID when you go pick up our $150 biker shorts. Yay. There's no reason to virtue signal. To jump on these things, it's stupid and it's pandering. "We also believe in the right to vote. Here at Bob's Crepes, we love voting. And also when you buy our crepes." Stop seizing on these. It's not an opportunity for you to decline yourself for advertising. I'm kind of scared to fly with United now.
Me too.
We don't get at United. We don't give a rat about your qualifications as a pilot.
I gave up on United. Remember when they were beating people up and throwing them off planes? I was like, you know what? I'm not using United anymore. I'm sticking with Southwest.
Oh my gosh. Let's just like everybody fly the plane. I love it how it's not merit. It's, well, let's see. We have 10 vaginas and 10 this. And I'm just, oh, my gosh. Stop it. Yeah, they are. If there are lady pilots, I don't. But you're making that over merit the issue. Would you do that with a surgeon? "Here at Heart Surgery Center, we really want a diverse group of surgeons." So wait a minute. How are you hiring? "Well, we first look at what people look like. You know, in the name of anti-bigotry, we judge solely on what people look like."
Priorities.
Wait a minute. How is that? Isn't that bigoted? No. Because infrastructure.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I don't know if he's trying to be a helpful husband or what. This Florida man was sentenced because he was trying to help his wife fake her death. Now, hold up. This technically, why is this in a Florida man category? I'm trashing the story. This is a Virginia man.
What?
How dare this Virginia man try to mask? No, I'm not doing that to you.
It was so Florida man sounding, though.
We've got actual. So let's do this one. WOKV. Oh, my gosh. A Florida man was arrested for giving Botox injections without a license while drinking Four Locos. Jacksonville. 47-year-old Florida man. He was doing botulism treatments without the proper certs. And he was also like drinking a lot of Four Locos. Oh, my gosh. It was a Botox and Bubbles event. Never do these. Everyone, please never do these. Nelson Turin, he was arrested for practicing or attempting to practice medicine without a valid medical license. Oh, my gosh. And he did discounted treatments in exchange for cash. And yes, he was drinking. Oh, my. And this is how bad things happen. This is how you have a bad day. Oh, and he had lidocaine and a bunch of other stuff he's not supposed to use. Do you have to have a license to possess lidocaine?
I thought so.
Oh, interesting. Not that I have it. I just didn't think that it was a controlled substance.
Is injecting people while drinking?
Because like lidocaine, like you gargle with it. Well, that's liquid lidocaine. Right, sometimes when I would have strep, my ENT would give me liquid lidocaine to gargle.
Right. It's like that. What's in Kitty Aura gel or whatever.
Yeah. It's interesting. So yeah, he's in a lot of trouble. And I don't know anything about his clients, but I mean, the fact that he was doing that and drinking Four Loko is ridiculous. Oh my gosh. Please don't ever do anything like that, everybody. Okay. Don't do it. Let's see here. Oh my gosh. There was a video of two alligators fighting that 1,000 Florida people sent me, and there's nothing with it. I don't even know where it is. But so I'm like, okay, there's two. Isn't that every day for you? Like you just see two gators fighting. A naval mine washed ashore on a Florida beach in Lauderdale by the sea. Florida beach goat. I honestly did not realize that was that big. It's actually quite big. They called out the sheriff, and then the sheriff called out the bomb squad. Broward County Sheriff, they discovered it, the mine, around 2:30 in the morning. And the mine was marked inert, which means that it could have been a dummy mine that they used for training purposes. It was safely removed. U.S. Air Force is re-examining it to find out more about its origin, but it just washed up on the shore. I'd go touch it. I would. I'd be like, wait a minute, let me go see. Want to touch? No. We have a lot more coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show. Back after this.
Most people don't know it. You walk into a store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want and no background check.
That's not right. There's nothing. By the way, that was the president just a little bit ago. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. And it's good to be with you. We're all chilling. It's great. I have and the reason I'm playing this is because I have a new soundbite from his spokes here coming up. But he says something that's absolutely not true. There's nothing in any federal law, state law. There is literally no law. Show me it. That says that these are exempt. It's not true. But now, keep in mind, he just said this. This was moments ago. Daily Caller got this video. This was moments ago. His press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked about this exact question and answer that you just heard, or that exact answer that you just heard from Joe Biden. Jen Psaki was asked this just moments ago. Listen.
Data that they could share with you as well, even maybe on their websites.
Very good. All right. Then following up, the president said a moment ago, quote, you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want. No background check. Is there a special exemption in federal law that he was referring to, or just do FLA dealers not have to do background checks when they're at a gun show?
Are you asking me if he was referring? No, it's okay. Were you asking me if he was referring to like a specific circumstance? Or I'm sorry, just tell me a little bit more about your question.
I mean, is it the president's belief that you do not have to undergo a background check when you are at a gun show?
No, it's not his belief. He believes that background checks should be universal.
Right. He says no background check.
Well, we know what his position is, right? So let me reiterate that, which is that gut background checks are something that should be universal. They're supported by more than 80% of the public. He's supported legislation, advocated for that, and advocated against loopholes as well. So that's his position, and I appreciate you asking for the clarification. Go ahead.
One here. I know the DOJ is working on this regulation.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. So there you have. Oh, my word. That was Jen Psaki. And were you clarified? Did you get the clarification you sought, Kane?
No, actually.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Did thou receive thy clarification?
I did not.
All right. So we're going to jump in the immigration stuff here. We got to talk about this. Some of the latest, let me go down here. I got some voting stuff for you. We're going to talk about Rona and a number of things. A member of Nation of Islam killed a Capitol cop and the media silent. We'll talk about that, too. I want to bring your attention to the ATF head, the guy, David Chipman, who's been he's the nominee for ATF director. It's been since before 2013, I think, that since we've had an ATF actual director, because they have to be confirmed. There's been just a director of ATF. They've been acting directors, I think, since like 2013 and on. The current acting director of the ATF was meeting with Joe Biden before the election was even over. I know. So what David Chipman's nomination means is that this will be maybe perhaps in its inception the most activist ATF ever. Now, David Chipman, you had Merrick Garland introduce him. One of the things that they didn't tell you is David Chipman. He was with an agent with ATF. He's had a role in Ruby Ridge and Waco. He once falsely claimed that Branch Davidians shot down two Air National Guard helicopters, which is not true. But he said it. He actually said that. He said that. And it was he actually wrote it out on social media. He said, quote, at Waco, cult members used 250 caliber Barretts to shoot down two Texas Air National Guard helicopters. Point, it is true we are fortunate they are not used in crime more often. The victims of drug lords in Mexico are not so lucky. America plays a role in fueling the violence south of the border. Oh, for FFS. That's absolutely false. Absolutely false. And by the way, you know, he protected his tweets. I wonder what he has to hide. David Chipman, the guy that Biden wants to be. And that's him. If you're watching the simulcast for the first, that's him holding up a picture of the burning Waco building. Yeah. He has crazy eyes. I just want to say he does have crazy eyes. But yes, his tweets are protected. Kind of nuts, right? Man alive. Now, that's not all of it. He's also called, he wants a complete full-on ban on semi-automatic firearms. He's called for that before. I mean, he's a way big-time anti-2A guy. Big time. He said that they need to ban the future production and sale to civilians of semi-automatic rifles. This was when he answered all of this as part of Reddit's Ask Me Anything event. He did an AMA with Reddit. So, yeah, and he did. He posted a photograph on Reddit confirming his identity, and he was actually holding the thing. Yeah, unbelievable. And there is the House report said agents used helicopters, but that helicopters flew within 350 feet of the building, but that nobody shot them down. Good heavens. Chipman also called for all gun stores to be closed during the year-long lockdown that we had because they were, quote, non-essential. What else do you want to know about him? And he's not. Oh, he said that one of the reasons that we have a bunch of new firearm owners is because people are worried about a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. He also has no idea what the hell well-regulated means. He thinks that well-regulated in the Constitution means by the government, which it doesn't. It's a phrase describing being able to be, you're well-trained and you can handle your own stuff. So this is the guy who's going to be And in addition to that, he also spent what, over 10 years with Bloomberg's and the Giffords gun groups. He was with Mayors Against Illegal Guns, but then they had to kind of disband because a number of the mayors got in trouble. Like one of them went to jail for pedophilia, and another one went to jail for like kidnapping an underage teen, and or kidnapping a teenager, a male teenager, and holding it because he was making sexual advances. Oh my gosh, I've written so many things about it. It's in a couple of my books. Yeah, Mayors Against Illegal Guns. They ended up, a lot of them started going to jail, and they ended up having to disband. Oops. That's the guy who's going to be, he's going to be there for ATF, right? So what this means, I don't see how in the hell this guy gets through the Senate. And if this guy gets through the Senate, I think I would reconsider any support for GOP ever again. Oh, I know that's a big statement, and I mean every syllable. Because this guy is, I think he's a nut. And I normally am very well, I normally don't go that far when I'm criticizing government officials. I always am civil and I give respect due. I don't believe that this is a similar case because this is a guy who's lied about things to justify, well, that what you see in the photo if you're watching the simulcast. This is a guy who wants to deprive you of your right and was smearing all these law-abiding people who are watching, you know, night after night of city blocks burning while Democrats are telling them they're going to defund their police. Well, of course they're going to go out and buy guns. They know that they have Democrats telling them police aren't going to protect you. We're going to defund them. Good heavens. Of course. What does he think is going to happen? I mean, and plus also too, when you consider how there's really a reduction of policing and implementing law because they're struggling with getting police officers. You've had, what is it, Baltimore decided that they're going to, there's a number of things that they're not even going to go after anymore. There were a number of cities that were doing this. In Philly, what is it, they were reducing penalties and certain felonies to just misdemeanors. They were actually suspending arrests for certain crimes, some of them violent. In Philly, they were doing that. In Los Angeles, they were doing that. In New York, they were making fewer arrests. They were doing that as well. In Baltimore, they're not even going to go after drug possessions and prostitutions and all of this other stuff. There's a lot. And then don't forget the Vice President of the United States promoting the bailout fund to violent rioters in Minneapolis. So, yeah, people are seeing this stuff and they're like, maybe we should buy firearms. And so the Biden administration and this ATF nut are suggesting that the crime spike across the country isn't related to any of these variables, but rather it's all the fault of law-abiding gun owners and the availability of legal items which are available to lawful people. Mm-hmm. He looks crazy. Like there's like an AOC vibe there. Look how excited he is holding a picture of if you're watching the simulcast on the first, he's holding a printed out picture of the Waco building burning and he's smiling real big. He's like real excited. That's nuts, dude. Cray. That's nuts. Whew. One of the things that I noted in Biden's remarks, and I know that there's a discussion about how things can be amended, but he said no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Can I just point out that what if Trump would have said that? Oh my gosh, you would have had Gloria Steinem in the streets. Come on, girls, with their canes. Let's go out here and... They're going to take our right to vote. You know it. Can you imagine? And also, does he know unalienable? What does it mean? What does unalienable mean? I don't know. Craziness. All right. We have coming up these immigration numbers are, it's unbelievable. The number of people that are being detained in March. 172,331 people taken into custody. It is the most in two decades. We're going to talk about that and more here coming up, so you don't want to miss it.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
A sheriff in central Minnesota says a woman caused a brush fire after cooking with some maple syrup. A weekend grass fire in central Minnesota started when a woman was cooking maple syrup in her yard, say authorities. Stearns County Sheriff's Office said they first learned of it around 12:40 on Saturday. The pasture behind a home was ablaze, and the fire was just going for nearby homes. A 41-year-old homeowner started a fire in a pit. She was making syrup. She got cited for burning during a burn ban. If it's a fire pit in your yard, though, does that count as violating a burn ban?
I don't know.
Like, what if you have, like, one of those, like, backyard, you get them at, like, the Home Depot or something. You got, like, a backyard fire pit. Is that?
I got one of those.
Yeah, like, if there's a burn ban, though, can you not even put it in that?
I don't know if I'd be making maple syrup out of it, though.
Well, yeah, true. Honestly. That's true. Yeah, I'm forgetting that part. But I was just like, wait a minute. How does this affect me? I just wonder, like, what if it's even on concrete? You know, I've got questions. This is Pennsylvania. Oh, my. We Are Central PA is the website. Police say a woman wears a hard hat, holds a crock pot lid as a shield, and a Clearfield Dollar General. Two people are facing charges after state police were called to a Dollar General in Chester Hill Borough for a report of a woman wearing a hard hat, holding a crock pot lid as a shield, and carrying a bathroom scale. But really, though? Really? What if she's just doing her thing? Tiffany Kerfoot, 25, was under the influence of a lot of drugs, clearly. She said people were chasing her and trying to hurt her. She also told state police that she just saw murder where she lives with her boyfriend. When she was going to investigate, the boyfriend said there was no murder and that she has a drug problem. So as they were walking out, they spotted a glass pipe in the middle of the living room floor. So then they charged him with possession of drug paraphernalia. She was taken to the hospital and cited for public drunkenness. That's a Halloween costume. Remember the story that we had about the Anaheim man who killed his wife, propped her up on the couch for kids during Christmas and said, oh no, mommy's like, what is she's passed out or something like that. So he's been convicted. He was finally convicted. He's 39. She's 29. Orange County Superior Court found him guilty of second degree murder. During the trial, they described this as like the culmination of a history of abuse. Both of them had been drinking. But they were saying that it was not premeditated, so that's why it was second degree. But yeah, propped her up there on the sofa and was just basically saying, hey kids, yeah, that's just mom's drunk and she's passed out. That's what it is. Vandals damage what is described as irreplaceable ancient carvings at a historic site in a Georgia forest. This is a pre-colonial historic site. It's known as Track Rock Gap. It's about 90 miles northeast of Atlanta. They have a bunch of rock carvings, petroglyphs. And apparently they were vandalized. And I don't know how bad the vandalism was. They said that about five different boulders were carved on and two were painted. So they said that some of them, they won't, obviously be able to fix them. But like, why do that? Like, how bored are you? Right? Stop it. Just quit. Just don't do it. Just be normal. Let's see here. A former college track coach is accused of tricking athletes into sending nude photos. I don't know how. First off, this guy needs to be beaten in prison. How would anybody be tricked into doing this? And I also think that kids have too much access to phones. If these are like high school kids and they're being able to, gosh, this guy's going to get, ooh, my goodness. So this story, it was Steve Waith of Chicago, 28 years old. He got charged with cyber stalking, one kind of wire fraud. So this trial's been going on for some time, but now he's got to go in for a court date. But ooh man, for another court date, he was in Chicago, and now he's got to go to Boston apparently. So he's a perv. He's a big bad perv. Beat him in jail. We got more to come. Stay with us.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as a director of the AFT. David knows the AFT well.
What? AFT? Oh, wait, I forgot. Americans for Tire Irons.
There it is.
Americans for Tire. That's it. AFT. That was the president in just a little bit ago when he was talking about David Chipman, who's going to be the crazy guy heading up that, well, if he makes it through the Senate. which I don't see that happening. That picture that Rachel keeps putting up on the simulcast is, oh man, dude is.
Look at him.
I'm telling you what. Good heavens. I can't say that one, Kane. You can say that one.
Oh, my bad.
AFT. Do you want to say this one?
S is for talk?
Yes, talc.
It's hard.
It's hard. Very difficult.
Twitter. Would you challenge Twitter? Give us all the acronyms. That
What AFT is he?
Yeah.
Is he talking about?
What's he saying?
Americans for Tire Irons. Asses for talc. That also. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other things.
Aardvarks for towels. I don't know.
AFT. Really don't know. It's difficult.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's very difficult. Aardvarks for tin.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
Armadillos from Texas.
Oh,
ooh! There it is.
David Chipman is going to head up the AFT, Armadillos from Texas.
I feel sorry for them armadillos.
That's right. Don't they have leprosy?
They carry it, yeah.
So, like, if you pet one, your hands will fall off?
It's possible.
Oh, geez. I mean,
not immediately, but yeah.
Why are they gross? Why is that?
It's nature.
Nature's like, oh, you want to touch it? Your skin's going to rot off.
Regret it.
Oh my love, welcome back to the show, danalash.com. yeah, that's woo, the AFT. I'm telling you. So Texas Governor Greg Abbott said, he tweeted out just a bit ago, Biden is threatening our Second Amendment rights. He just announced a new liberal power grab to take away our guns. We will not allow this in Texas. It's time to get legislation making Texas a Second Amendment sanctuary state.
Yeah.
Or also constitutional carry.
Let's do that.
I mean, Oklahoma has it. I love you, Oklahoma. Just let me be real. I do get aggravated when my Oklahoma friends are like, oh, how's your permitless carry go? Oh, wait, you don't have that. Oh, we're sorry for you. Oh, that's so sad. I don't want any other state to be able to brag over where I live. You know, I'm just very competitive about that. There's just something about it. Like my hometown of St. Louis, because people are like, well, who has the best barbecue? And I'm like, if you have to ask that question, then you don't know barbecue. Because clearly it's St. Louis, right? And then the South Carolina people are like, uh-uh. Or is it North Carolina people? I don't know. Their sauces are the same. And then Kansas City's like, what about us? And we're like, shut up. North Carolina. Thank you, Steve. Oh, man. So sidebar. When I was in North Carolina one time, we were at this barbecue place. And because I've talked about barbecue before, like one of my favorite foods is meat. And I love St. Louis style ribs and I love barbecue. And they brought over barbecue to me. It was a great place. Everybody's just got different tastes and different styles. And it was... oh my gosh, it was like meat soup. It was the sauce with some meat in it. And I'm like, wait, is it? And they're like, yeah! You like the barbecue? And I didn't want to say anything. I'm like, there's a lot. Would you like some meat with your sauce? Like, I like some sauce as a side to my meat.
Right.
Now, their sauce did taste good, I will say. They had some good taste in sauce. So that's, now, St. Louis has the best ribs. Texas has the best brisket.
No doubt.
I mean... it's not a competition. That's the first thing. I think that should be like on the test to become a citizen of the country. Who has the best barbecue?
Nice.
And then see what happens. I would do this. Is why you don't want me president, because I would do that. I would have that as a question on any kind of like citizenship test. Who has the best barbecue?
That's a question.
Right? Who is God's team for baseball? Oh, the Cardinals. Yes. Yes, Steve?
What's the difference between, and don't hate on me, what's the difference between St. Louis and Kansas City barbecue? Because I feel like they're the same state.
No. St. Louis is real barbecue. No, I would say KC sauce, I think, is spicier.
It's a little spicier and a little sweeter, too, I think.
I don't like a super sweet sauce. Yeah. I want to taste the meat. You know what I'm saying?
We actually did a segment on the show once about Mall's barbecue sauce. Remember?
Oh, my gosh.
To me,
got
to
Mall it. Pour that sauce on. Come on and Mall it.
I love it.
Sink that flavor in. And when you Mall it.
Absolutely.
And all the kids are playing in the backyard, and you're like, yay, America.
If you ever had malls, you know it's not super sweet or anything. It's actually really good. It's got some tang.
I don't think malls is reflective of KC sauce, though.
Yeah. No, it's not. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's the difference. I think KC is a little more sweeter and, like you said, a little spicier.
Yeah.
Malls is just so good. Like, so good. We buy it by the gallon jug.
I mean, but that's kind of the difference. That's the difference between it. And a St. Louis style rib, if you're ever going to go and have a butcher get you ribs, be like, I want a St. Louis cut. What that does, they leave more fat on it so that the meat is more flavorful. It's a juicier rib. That's what it is. How are we here?
I know.
Talking about this?
I know.
Oh, man. In Dallas, feed store, some of the best ribs ever. I can put two racks away like nobody's business. I eat like a man. Like, I eat like a large dude. And I mean, and I will put away, and everyone's like, your eyes are going to be bigger than your stomach. And I'm like, watch. And then I walk away looking like the Penguin from Batman. So it's just got to, oh man. So that's the difference. That's the difference. Is so when you go and you have a butcher cut you up some ribs, be like, I want a St. Louis cut on these ribs. Keep some of that fat on there. It makes that meat juicy. It makes it flavorful. That's a good rib. This turned into the meat show. Welcome to the meat show. And now guns. And then we'll talk to Poot. Poot Buttigieg. But yeah, that's the difference. I don't think, I will not eat a rib unless it's a St. Louis style rib.
Really?
I won't touch it.
I like baby back ribs, though. You don't like baby back ribs?
Nope.
How do you not like baby back ribs?
Because it's not a St. Louis style rib. It's not as flavorful,
you
not
know
as juicy.
You and Chris introduced me to is the world of sous vide.
Mm. Oh my gosh, everybody.
I did the ribs in the sous vide first before putting them on the grill, and I got to tell you, that's probably one of the best.
It's like going to meat church.
It really is.
Having a sous vide. If you sous vide things, don't be like, what's that? Sounds French. Don't, no. And it sounds weird, but I promise you, you will not eat meat any other way.
It's true.
Hands to sky. If you've never listened to me on anything else before, hear me now. This is the way. It is, you put the meat, you season it, do whatever you're going to do to it, put it in a vacuum sealed bag, and you boil it, and that's how you cook it. Then, if it's a steak, it's a chicken, whatever, you take it out, you slap it on that grill for a little bit, get that outside a little crispy, get them grill marks on there, get that flavor. You can smoke it too. You can smoke it and then put it in. I mean, we do brisket this way, and you look at it and it falls apart. It's so good. And I won't eat chicken any other way. I can't hardly eat anybody else's steak. Even like a Morton's or a Ruth's Chris. I'm like, that's great. But yeah, it's that sous vide though. I swear to you, it is the best device you will ever have in your kitchen. I don't know why they don't sponsor us, because they ought to. You won't be broiling no meat. It just makes it so good. And you can attest, because we got Kane of sous vide for his birthday.
Yeah, and so I've had steaks in there, tenderloin, ribs.
How good is it?
It's so good.
Right.
And the finishing off on the grill or on the flat iron
minutes,
or something, so great. Chicken, though, I haven't tried yet.
Chicken?
We talked about that yesterday off air. I think I might do that this weekend.
What I want to do is I want to sous vide a chicken, and then I would like to just fry it, see if I can fry it real quick to get that crisp on there, get that scald on it. Oh, can you imagine the juiciest chicken you will ever have in your life? I am dying right now. I need to eat something. I'm going to go across the street, run down one of my neighbor's chickens.
Oh, wait, we're on the air, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Doing the show?
Shh.
Just checking.
Didn't hear that.
Making sure.
But, okay, so I know I need to get back to the other stuff, but I had to tell you all this stuff. I had to. Because if you've ever, it's been a heavy news day, right? We've had a lot of issues to discuss. That is a very serious thing that you need to know for a freedom.
It's true.
I mean, you got to ask yourself, have you had a steak if you hadn't sous-vided it? Yeah.
Question.
Just saying. You will, I want to hear it if you do it, and you will thank me. You're going to be like, Dana, you've changed my life. We need to put a statue up for you because you recommended this. Just have me holding like a rib or something just when you do it. All right, so a few other things here that we need to discuss. I'm going to be actually literally right after radio. I'm supposed to be on Martha McCallum's show on Fox. And then tonight I'm on with Kennedy. And then I think I have something tomorrow. And then I have Judge Jeanine on Saturday. And, of course, it's going to be a lot of firearm stuff. This immigration stuff, though, too. I'm still trying to get over the fact. So you remember how I gave you the numbers for March? Customs and Border Patrol, they released the numbers 172,331. And I'm pulling this up. I was looking at a graph of the figures, and it is so not even remotely near what it has ever been before. And then for minors, for kids, 18,890. This is just for the month of March alone. Just for March. That's all. Just for March. Wow. Now here's what I get upset about. If these all people get fast tracked, then what is to happen to all the people? I have friends who are still waiting to become citizens, who move here to the United States. They want to be a part of that animating spirit of liberty, and they're still in line. What about them? What happens to them? Do they get fast-tracked? They've been doing it the right way. They don't get fast-tracked. What gives? That's not fair. It's not in any way equally representative. We have more to come still. Everybody's fighting over the phrase well-regulated on Twitter, so some people are going to have to get slapped.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Make sure you sign up, because there's going to be a number of things going out this evening as it relates to some of the gun control stuff. There's a big debate right now on I don't know if etymology is the best way to put it, but the origin of the phrase well-regulated. And some people want to be as absolutely reductive or as not as red as possible, because they think that this means government regulation, when it does not at all, even remotely in the slightest. I mean, it's referring to the right of the people. And even Scalia noted that when in Heller, that it is absolutely stupid to read the clause this way, because if you're reading it as though this is if you're reading it as though someone who is not a member of a militia has no such right, or not, or if it's not regulated by the government, that what it does is it completely nullifies the direct, clear meaning of that operative clause. And so that's just how people talk when they talk about well-regulated. They're saying someone who is well-trained, someone who is skilled, someone who is able to keep up. It still really means that today, but that was the parlance of the times. To argue that it means regulated by the government not only takes that out of context, but it actually affects everything else. I mean, the whole context was in the Bill of Rights. The individual separate from the government came.
And anybody who read the Federalist Papers around this subject knows the motivations behind what they were meant with that.
Very important. I don't know. So these people that are arguing this, I just don't think that they read anymore. It does not mean it has to be the government regulating it. I was looking at my notes on this. Oh, yes. This is one of the other. Because I discussed this in the first book. And when you look at all things that have been written in the 19th century, I mean, this is actually quite common. The closest way to define it was properly operating or in its ideal state. One example that was given, Anne Newport Royal commented in 1822 that Huntsville, Alabama was becoming quite civilized and prosperous with a fire engine and a well-regulated company. So, yeah, I mean, you could say that, okay, well, the firefighters are probably subject to the rules and restrictions and limitations of the government, but that's not what they meant. It's like, we have got a nice fire engine and a well-trained company. That's what it means. I mean, if people want to be deliberately obtuse, that's unfortunate. Can you imagine being so uncertain about your ability to persuade people and so uneducated about an issue that you have to play stupid and pretend, and from that stupidity to pretend that something isn't what it actually is so that you can try to better persuade others to join you in your stupidity. Good heavens. Yeah. All right, King. Today in stupidity.
Right. Speaking of stupidity, our President Joe Biden today on his acronyms. He's got a tough time with these.
Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as a director of the AFT.
Yes.
David knows the AFT well.
What did you say? Asses for talc.
Asses for talc. I think even Twitter said
Armadillo
something.
From
Americans for Tyranny.
Texas. Americans for Tyranny.
That's exactly.
There you go.
That's funny.
Yay. That is. Folks, I will be actually very shortly. I'll be on Martha McCallum within the next hour on Fox on this issue. So you can tune in there. Additionally, I will be on Kennedy, Fox Business later on tonight. And Saturday with Judge Jeanine, make sure you sign up for the newsletter chapter and verse. A lot of good stuff that you're going to really need to know is coming out on that. So make sure that you sign up. And tomorrow, we're almost through the week together, everybody. We're almost there. We're making it through together. That's it. We're one. What do they say? One more sleep away from the weekend. One sleep away. There you go, folks. Dana Radio or DanaLash.com. Go and sign up for that newsletter. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.